Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Movie Addict Headquarters with your host, Betty Jo Tucker, author of Confessions of a Movie Addict, right here at www.blogtalkradio.com.
Toto, I have a feeling we're not in Kansas anymore. That's right, Dorothy. This is Movie Addict Headquarters. You don't have to be a movie addict to visit here, but if you are one, it's definitely the place for you. I'm your host, Betty Jo Tucker, and today my producer, Nikki Starr, and I will be talking with John Havens, Blog Talk Radio's own Vice President of Business Development, about his experience as a movie actor. Nikki, my excellent producer, I should say, is the one who reminded me about John's impressive acting background. So, Nikki, thank you very much for doing that. It's just an example of the many talented people that we have working for Blog Talk Radio, right?
Isn't that the truth? Isn't that the truth? Just when you think you know someone, you pull up IMDb and there they are.
And then you find all of this information in their background. And I did not realize that he spent 15 years in the acting profession before he came to Blog Talk Radio. And he's appeared in several movies, including there was a recent thriller called Awake, mm-hmm. which was, it just scared me half to death. And then he also was in the Angelina Jolie, Tony Shalhoub dramedy, Life or Something Like It. And there was a terrific independent film last year called Starting Out in the Evening that John appeared in. And that particular movie should have earned Frank Langella an Oscar nomination. It really was a terrific performance. So we just can't wait to talk to John. He'll be with us in, about 10 minutes?
Yeah.
Nikki,
yeah.
Is that correct?
Yes, he works hard. I don't know how he has time. I can't wait to get him on the phone to ask him how he has time to make a movie coming out in 2008.
I know. So we'll find that out when he gets here. But I thought I'd take the time now at the beginning of the program to urge all of our listeners to be very wary about identity theft. Please, dear listeners, don't let your life become like a horror movie by falling victim to this fastest-growing crime in America. Instead, check out the valuable protection services provided by the folks at LifeLock. Just go to LifeLock.com, that's LifeLock.com, and when you sign up, you'll receive a 10% discount if you use our special code, which is REALTALK, that's REELTALK, and it's all one word. And now, Nikki, I think you were interested in talking a little bit more about a movie that we discussed last week on Movie Addict Headquarters when we were talking about superhero movies, and that is Hancock. Why are you still interested in that movie?
Well, part of the reason is because I saw Will Smith on the Stephen Colbert Report last night, and he was hysterical.
I wish I'd seen that.
It was great. And because I am actually a huge fan, and so, of course, you know, I want to see him.
Well,
you know, I want to see any movie he's in.
Yes, well, remember we had John McCarthy on the show last week, and he was kind of lukewarm about this particular movie. But I have to tell you that I did see it over the weekend, and mm-hmm. I'm disagreeing with John and with a lot of critics because this film is being trashed by most critics. But honestly, Nikki, I found it highly entertaining. Don't miss it. There are so many surprises in this film, things that you're not expecting, and you know how I love surprises in the movies, and I think you do too. Will Smith is great, as he always is. He deserves to be called the King of July, because that's
July 4th is what they called him. Yep.
Yeah.
Mr. July 4th.
That's right. Well, you don't expect him to give such a good performance in this, because it's just the previews that we've seen, it looks just like kind of a silly movie and kind of a parody on superhero movies. But it's a lot more than that. It's got a lot of depth to it. It's got fantastic action scenes and special effects. In fact, I was hoping that maybe we didn't have so much given away in the in the trailer. I know it was a great trailer, but as I was watching the film and some of those stunts took place, I thought, oh gosh, I wish I hadn't seen it before. I wish that this was something to surprise me. But it was still great, because there's so much fun to watch. But I think when the film takes a completely different turn a little past the halfway mark and becomes a different kind of film altogether, I think that's where many of the critics thought, oh no, don't let this happen. But to me, I just thought it was, you know, such a surprise and so refreshing to see the movie go in another direction. And the last part of the film, the very, very last part of the film, Nikki, didn't make a whole lot of sense to me. But what superhero movie makes a whole lot of sense? And
well, aren't they just for fun, right?
Yes, exactly. It is fun. And then I was so entertained by the time it got to the confusing part at the very, very end, about the last few minutes. I was so entertained that I let that go by, and you know, I just can't do anything but rave about the movie. And like you, I am a big Will Smith fan. He can do no wrong in my book. I think my favorite Will Smith performance, though, was in was as Muhammad Ali in the film Ali. Did you see that?
Yes, I most certainly did. And he did an impression of that last night on Stephen Colbert.
He did.
It was amazing. Yes, it was amazing.
Oh, I thought he should have gotten the Oscar. He was nominated for the Oscar, but he should have gotten the Oscar for that. That was just a brilliant, brilliant performance. So I hope one of these days Will Smith will receive an Oscar, because he does so much for his fans. I mean, you can always rely on him for a great performance. But you know what? There's another member of his family who also is appearing in a movie that was just released over the weekend. Did you know that?
Mm-mm.
Willow Smith, his daughter, has a very, very charming role in the movie Kit Kittredge, An American Girl, which is starring everybody's Little Miss sweetheart, Abigail Breslin. Remember her from Little Miss Sunshine?
Yes, I love that movie.
And so here was Will Smith. We saw both of these movies on the same day, my husband and I did.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, we were just, you know, wowed by Will Smith in one film. Then we went to the other film, which is completely different. It's about growing up in the Depression era and all the economic problems that the families had to face, and how this little girl, played by Abigail Breslin, remains positive and helpful to others, even though it looks like, you know, she may lose her home and her father loses his job. But it's a different film. But Willow Smith is one of the youngsters in that movie, and Willow Smith just stole my heart. So I got a double dose of the Will Smith family over the weekend, and I highly recommend both films.
Good.
I thought they
I'll
were.
I'll have to see it.
Yes, I don't think Kittredge is showing in as many screens as Hancock, but if you get a chance, that's really a highly recommended book, recommended movie in my book. I couldn't believe that it was based on something called the American Girls Dolls. Have you heard of the American Girls Dolls?
I have heard of them.
Yes, and I hadn't heard of them, but what a wonderful concept to make these dolls. All of them are supposed to represent nine-year-olds at different periods in history. And then the youngsters learn about that period of history, you know, when they get the doll. They learn about the period in history. And I just thought, great.
I want those.
Yeah. Kind of an antidote, isn't it, to the Barbie craze. Mm-hmm. So those are my two movie recommendations for the week, and I hope you get a chance to see both of them. So how are we doing with John Havens? Have you heard from him yet?
Well, he is actually on time. We do have a caller. I'm pretty sure it's Jazz, so we can take that until he gets here if you'd like.
Oh, and I do see two callers. Yes, let's welcome
Jazz.
Oh,
wait, hold on 1 second. If there's two, the 636 is probably him.
Okay, well, let's get John on as soon as we can.
Right. Thank you for holding 636. This is Nikki.
Hello. I was listening to you talk about the American Girl movie, and I actually collect the dolls, and I have like 14 of them, and I've had them ever since I was 8 years old. So,
do you love them?
Oh, yes, I love them so much, and Kit is actually my favorite doll, and this coming week I'm actually going to go see the film. So you thought it was good?
Oh, I thought it was wonderful. Now, who is calling?
My name is Abby, and I host a show called Broadway Radio, and I'm into acts and stuff, yeah.
Oh, and your name is Hannah?
Abby.
Oh, Abby. Well, thank you, Abby, for calling. And
no problem.
I had no idea about these dolls, and I haven't talked to anybody who owns a doll, so we really appreciate hearing from you.
Oh, no problem. They're really, really awesome dolls. I've had them since I was 8 years old, which is kind of late to have them, apparently. A lot of people get them right when they're born, and then their mothers give them to them later. But my mom found out about them, and she loved the concept, especially, and my dad used to be a social studies teacher. So for him, it was kind of good because my mom loved the dolls and how they looked. And then my dad got the historical side of it where he could kind of relate to me with it. That was always good. And then my mom just, every year for my birthday or for Christmas, I would get a doll. And then my mom would talk about the doll with me, and then I'd get to play with it. And it was really cool when they started doing the movies, and they usually started doing them on local channels, like ABC. Like, they've done Samantha, Felicity. I think they've already done three movies. And then this is the first one they've actually put in theaters, though.
Yes, and
awesome.
You will be so happy when you see Abigail Breslin's performance.
Well,
Kit.
I really liked her in Little Miss Sunshine. And I really like that movie.
Yes,
so, and I'm a big fan of her. So I think she's really, really good for Kit Kissinger.
And she shows that she can carry a film on her sturdy but small shoulders, because her name is above the title in this film for the first time. This is her first actual starring role. So Abby, I hope you do get to see that movie as soon as possible. And maybe you could call us again sometime and let us know what you thought about it.
Yes, of course. I just thought I'd call in. I was looking around on Blog Talk Radio, and I found your show, and I heard you talking about it, and I looked around my room, and I've got 14 dolls. I said, why not call in? So.
That's
thank
right.
You
well,
so
on
much.
Behalf of you and your 14 dolls, we thank you, Abby.
Oh, no problem. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Oh, that was great, and John is here, actually.
Wonderful. Let's bring John in then. Hi, John.
Hey, how you doing?
Well, fine, and welcome to Movie Attic Headquarters. I'm so glad you're able to be with us today.
Well, my pleasure. Thank you very much for having me on.
We've just been so excited to talk with you, but, John, we did give you a big build-up at the beginning of the show, so you'll have to listen to the archives. But I have to tell you, I am so very jealous of the experience you had as an actor and working in movies, because as a movie addict, you know, that's really what I would have liked to do instead of just watching the movies and talking about them and writing about them. But what motivated you to become an actor?
Oh, wow. Probably I was always a ham, and I think it was church. Years ago when I was a kid, I got put like in Little Drummer Boy or something, and I played the snare drum and got that, you know, I got bit by the bug, as they say, that early on. I was probably like 8 or 9, and just realized that I love being in front of people. And then in college, I pursued it. I thought I was going to be a minister, but then felt that God sort of called me to a different type of pulpit, which happened to, in this case, be the stage. And then in 92, went to New York and pursued film and TV and theater and went from there.
So it was all the fault of the little drummer boy.
That's correct.
Well, so you decided to become an actor and not a drummer.
I still play drums.
And you still play drums. Okay.
I do. I play guitar and drums and harmonica and some different blues bands, but I focus on harmonica because carrying the drums around is just way too heavy.
Well, harmonica makes more sense, I think. But, well, what did you enjoy the most and the least about acting? You had been doing it for about 15 years before you joined Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, that's correct. The hardest part is really, people say it's the rejection. That does get irritating. It's more just not really knowing where your next job is coming from. Rejection is all kind of relative, meaning you learn pretty quickly as an actor that really part of your job, a major part of your job, is auditioning. And the ratio in New York City, at least, certainly like for commercials, is a 1 in 80 ratio, that for every 80 commercials you audition for, you'll book one. So you can get upset or depressed about that, or you can just say, well, that's the job. The same way that other people, file or whatever at their job.
Still have to have a thick skin, I think, don't you?
Yeah, you definitely do. I mean, you walk into a room, especially singing. I did a lot of, I did one Broadway show and a lot of off-Broadway and different musical stuff. And it's very odd to walk into a room of strangers, say hi politely and be all professional, and then a piano player starts playing and you instantly, wear your heart in the sleeve, and your job is to demonstrate emotion to a room full of strangers who are scrutinizing you. So if you then don't get the part, you, of course, say to yourself, what did I do wrong? But again, you listen, you realize pretty quickly that I read a quote years ago that I think is an amazing advice for any actor, which is don't just focus on how can I be famous or how can I be rich. Focus on how I can be useful. That was extremely helpful to me because very quickly on I learned that I as much as I might want to be the leading man, I would always get cast as the leading man's funny best friend. So there you go. That's how you fit. That's how people see you. And in the acting world, the sooner you can learn what your type is, the happier you'll be.
Well, you have just worked with some of the most interesting stars, some of my favorites, especially Angelina Jolie and Tony Shalhoub in that film Life or Something Like It. And I was wondering how they were on the set. I've met both of them, interviewed Tony Shalhoub about 3 times and Angelina Jolie when she was first starting out in her film The Hackers. But so I have my impression, but how about you? What did you think about these two who are megastars now?
Well, Angelina, it's funny. When you see her in real person, she's not that pretty. I had to say it. She is.
That makes us feel better.
Yes. All right. Well, no, I have to. She is startlingly beautiful. You see her in person, and I've worked with other folks, and I won't say their names, but they seem very attractive, on the screen, and then you see them, and it's sort of like, whoa, hey, all right, I'm gonna take a step back. But
oh, wait, maybe. Excuse me for interrupting you, but
sure. Maybe
on that film, John. I had a similar impression when I saw that film. I don't like her with blonde hair. Did you see her with blonde hair and not as a brunette?
I did. I mean, the scene I did with her, and again, I'm not just trying to be humble. I you can say that I worked with her, but I held the cab door open for her and said, I think, 2 or 3 lines as she walked down the stairs, and we did it.
We still want to say we are not worthy. We are not worthy.
Well, hey, it was a great gig. I got a call one day, and the next day I was in shooting, and it was in front of the St. Regis. It's the huge hotel in New York right by Central Park. So there were probably about 200 people standing around.
I remember. You were the doorman at the hotel, right?
Yes. Thank you. Thank you for remembering that. The doorman.
I think you were a doorman in starting out in the evening, they're going to typecast you as a doorman.
Doorman or cop. It's a good thing to get typecast in New York.
But just to clarify, then you did not ever see Angelina Jolie in person as with dark hair. You saw her in person as a blonde.
Yeah, on the set she was. I walked in just. It's called the A-team. You probably know this, but other people do the stand-in work while they set up the lights and stuff, and they bring in the A-team, which are the principal actors. And so, when I get on set, or when I used to act and got on set, right away she was there and I was there, and she had the blonde hair, but she still was beautiful and she was very nice. Meaning, there wasn't really a chance for us to chat. Like I really got to know Renee Russo pretty well, and she was fantastic. But Angelina, she was at the top of a set of stairs. And when you first, this is something you learn as an actor when you do these sort of day jobs, is you very quickly learn with megastars like that, that you give them their space when you get on set. So you sort of give them the unspoken signal, hey, I'm not a freak, and I'm not going to, be in your face the whole time I'm here. I'm another actor like you. You just happen to be hyper mega famous, and I'm trying to pay my bills, so...
That's good to know. That is definitely good to know. What about Tony Shalhoub? Did you have any time interacting with him?
I did not. His partner, who I'm a big fan of, meaning his writing partner, they did the movie Big Night. I'm blanking
on
his
name. Yes, Big Night. Oh, one of my favorites.
Wonderful film. And so Stanley Tucci, I saw not too much longer after I did that film on the street and stopped him. Anyway, I think... Maybe he's not the guy I'm thinking of. No, all right. Anyway, no, I didn't get to work with Tony.
Well, I did interview him personally a couple of times, and he's the nicest guy that you would ever want to meet. But I was wondering, well, look at all of the other stars that you worked with. And you mentioned Renee Russo. That was in the Thomas Crown Affair with Pierce Brosnan. Which star was the most fun to work with, or which movie that you made was the most fun? And why?
That was probably the most fun. It was supposed to be 2 days on the set. It turned into about five or six. With the Screen Actors Guild, if a star of a movie is sick, the production company buys an insurance so that while the star is out sick, everyone who's supposed to get paid still gets paid. So first of all, from a payment standpoint, doing the Thomas Crown was the most money I'd ever made on anything because... at least at the time, you get paid for your fee, the work you actually do on set. And then residual-wise, this was before the real advent. I mean, it was 2000, but before all the different internet channels kicked in, I got a nice couple of big payments for when the movies went to video stores, then when it went to planes. A lot of my friends saw the movie on planes, which was fun, then cable. So I really liked The Mailman. With regards to Thomas Crown Affair. But then being on the set, we shot in this warehouse in Brooklyn, and you got to the parking lot of the warehouse, and it looked, not dangerous, but not very appealing. And inside, the crew, the set designers, had built four or five rooms that were supposed to be modeled after the Metropolitan Museum of Art. And that was really cool because, again, you walk into this warehouse, and on the walls, they had paid an artist in France to redo essentially one wing of the Impressionist wing. So you could walk down this wall and see, all these different paintings. And they were done in oil, so they had texture to them, so that when they shot them, they were, looked real. For me, and I know you're a movie lover, I would think, well, I'll just go to the museum and shoot the actual pictures. Well, obviously, they probably can't, first of all, and second of all, they didn't. And so another thing that was funny is they had a life-size replica of the Thinker, that statue.
Yeah, Rodin's the Thinker, right.
Right, and a lot of the crew guys had their coffee on it, so I took a picture of it because it was, obviously not the real thing, but they had sculpted it. And anyway, so that was the movie magic side of it. That was a wonderful week because I got to see all these things behind the scenes. But then John McTiernan, who directed it, I'm sure you love these films,
I do
for a movie lover, Die Hard,
yeah.
Hunt for Red October. I got to watch him when I sat behind him. Anytime I could, I would stay on the set just to watch him work. So I watched him direct Renee Russo when she was doing this extreme close-up. So the monitor on a set is longer than a TV set. So you see this rectangle, and he did this incredibly tight close-up on her eyes. So she was about 12 feet away from me. He was right next to me, and I was behind both of them so I could watch everything on the monitor. And he talked her through a scene where she's supposed to be watching Pierce Brosnan appear at the end when she's devastated to learn that he has come back and he hasn't tricked her. So what I got to watch was a master director direct a wonderful master actress through a very, very specific tiny scene. Tiny meaning she barely moved her eyes because it was such a tight close-up. And it was really a wonderful master class in film.
I'm getting very green, hulkish green with envy, hearing about that kind of experience. I love that movie, The Thomas Crown Affair, actually both versions, but I think I liked the one that you were in the best. Now, you played a museum technician in that, didn't you?
Yes, which is an extension, a formal extension of a security guard, so I didn't get too far away from, you know, my main thing there.
And you mentioned that they wanted it to look real, and to me it certainly did look real. I'm going to ask Nikki if she has any questions to ask you, and then I think we have a caller, and we have people participating in the chat. So Nikki, do you have a question for John?
I do. I want to know how you had time, because we work together, to do a movie that's coming out in 2008.
Oh, that, you mean the starting out in the evening?
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Yeah, that actually shot 2 years ago, about a year and a half ago.
Ah, gotcha.
Yep.
Gotcha.
No,
so are you going to be doing anything coming up soon, acting-wise?
No. I work for a company called Blog Talk Radio. You may have heard of it. And,
I have.
And, you know, no, I told Alan this, that Alan, our CEO, I loved acting, and I love it, and I'll probably go back to it someday, but I have kids who I love being with, so this job where I am now affords me that opportunity to spend more time with them at home, because
mm-hmm.
that's one thing, to answer a question you asked before, the one thing about being an actor, if you really want to dedicate yourself to it, is that you do have to kind of be ready to leave town for 3 months at the turn of a hat. You know, to take a job instantly. And that's really the part of it. That's the reason I left it. I don't have any bitterness towards it, and I look forward to going back to it, you know, someday, because the craft of it is always the reason I loved it so much.
Mm-hmm.
And Nikki, are there any callers that we want to take their call, or any comments from the chat room that you'd like to mention?
Yes. Do you think that being an actor helps you in your current position?
Big time. Huge.
Yeah, I would have to agree.
One thing, I mean, I do business development for Blog Talk Radio. One thing as a professional actor you learn very quickly is the utter vital importance of networking. And I think people think that networking is like a dirty word, like you walk up to someone and you're a used car salesman. It's not at all. I mean, I don't think it should be. It's facilitating relationships. And as an actor, you do learn about things that are casting. I can get into all the specifics, but I won't right now. So you learn about things that are coming up, but really a big part of your job is you have to get known by casting directors and directors. So you have no choice but to be forward and to get yourself in front of those people so they remember you. And that's the exact, you know, a lot of the same of what I do for Blog Talk is finding people who I think would be good partners or clients for us and telling them why I'm so passionate about working here. Anyway, so in that regard, it certainly helps. And then certainly public speaking, being in front of audiences, there's a lot of that for what I do here.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, a lot of what I do as an actor has helped here, sure.
Well, we are so lucky to have you. And I just have to know this, John. I've just been waiting and waiting so that I could ask you this question. What are your all-time favorite films and actors?
Oh, wow, that's a tough question, because there are so many.
Say your top three, maybe,
top three.
Top five.
Mm-hmm. I'm a big mush, so there's a movie called Love Actually. It's a British film.
Oh, hooray, that's one of my favorites.
Isn't that great with Hugh Grant? I love that movie. That's like now one of my Christmas movies, that and Jimmy Stewart. You know, that I have to watch him at Christmas. I force my family to either watch it with me or I watch it, you know, I say I have to watch it. I love Kenneth Branagh's Henry V. That was a big film for me in college. I did a lot of classical theater. I wish I had done more, but If you ever get a chance to watch his film version of it, certainly Olivier's version is amazing as well, but his film version is great.
Branagh's is the best, I think.
I do, too. He just did some stuff in that long shot during, like, the Battle of St. Crispin's Day. Just insane. And I'm trying to think, like, Raiders of the Lost Ark. There's a lot of foreign films I like, too. Cinema Paradiso is a big one. And then a lot of sort of classic films. There's one called Kind Hearts and Coronets, which as an actor, I would recommend any actor watch that Alec Guinness stars in. It's a black and white British film, and he played 8 different characters. And we mostly know Alec Guinness as Ben Kenobi from Star Wars, but he is a magnificent actor. And if you ever get a chance to rent Kind Hearts and Coronets, you should.
Oh, that is really a great movie. Very, very funny. And Alec Guinness is just so great at playing so many characters in a movie. But I was hoping that you would mention Singing in the Rain.
Oh, well, I do. I mean, I'm a huge Gene Kelly fan. And not just him for Singing in the Rain, that scene, but I'm blanking on the actor's name, the comedian's name, make him laugh with the couch.
Oh, Donald O'Connor.
Yeah, that scene is fantastic. And Gene Kelly... You know, everyone does the comparison of Gene Kelly versus, not Bing Crosby, Fred Astaire.
Right.
And I love Fred Astaire. Got to give him credit where it's due. But Gene Kelly has that sort of, like, manly, masculine, like, you know, I'll kick your butt while I'm dancing thing, which I've always loved.
I love that. I'm with you on that one, too. I think Gene Kelly, both are great dancers, but I always enjoyed watching Gene Kelly more than I enjoyed watching Fred Astaire. Nikki, I think we do have a caller, 607. Let me see if I can get this caller on the line. Hello, area code 607. Thank you for calling Movie Addict Headquarters. We're talking with John Havens. Who's calling, please?
Hi, Betty Jo. It's Jazz.
Well, hi, Jazz. You're back from your vacation?
I just got back just last night, and, you know,
was
been
it
missing
fun?
Show today.
Oh, I'm so glad you're calling in.
I did have a question for John, but I had one quick comment first, because I, too, am incredibly envious that John worked with Angelina Jolie. I think she's always been very beautiful. I think she's a very talented actress. But just one comment. Excuse me. I don't know if she does it herself or if she has an agent that takes care of these things, but her choice of selections for the roles that she takes is just kind of sporadic. I mean, she's picked some fantastic projects where, you know, starting with Girl Interrupted and just so many others that worked out so well. And then she's had a few she's taken, like Gone in 60 Seconds, just to name one. And there have been a few others where it was like, what was she thinking to accept that? You know, so... But I don't want to have anybody else trashing Angelina Jolie here. So I did want to ask John. John, I've known a few other people in the trade, and I'm just curious. A lot of them say that while you're waiting for your big break, for your chance to get a speaking role of more than 3 lines with a major star on the screen that you really get paid for and everything, they tend to take a lot of other work while they're waiting. Like maybe you do non-speaking roles, or maybe even like you're a PA, or, you know, working something else on the set or doing voiceover work. Did you have to go through a bunch of that before you got your first actual speaking roles?
I did. I was an extra in a movie, House Sitter, with Steve Martin, and that was pretty fun because a buddy of mine was doing PA work in Boston, and I got to the set, and there were like 300 people there, and I saw them placing the extras, and I thought, well, there's no way I'm going to be seen. And then someone said, a PA said, does someone want to go inside? And it was blisteringly hot. So I said, yes. I shot my hand up, and it was air-conditioned, so I was happy. But then Steve Martin ended up walking up right next to me, and then I realized the way that they were having me walk, I was totally going to be in the shot. So I got lucky and had a nice little, I mean, I don't want to call it a scene. You got to see me, but... I did some extra work. The thing, at least
I actually saw that movie. I believe I have that one on tape here somewhere. I may have to go back and watch again to look for you.
Well, when he and Goldie Hawn leave a big building near the end of the movie, you'll see a guy chewing gum far too excitedly. I was carrying my little briefcase and chewing gum like no one ever should, which is
you were hamming it up, right?
Yeah, as an extra, that's kind of, you know, a director might say, like, why don't you chew gum like a human being? idiot.
The other thing they say is that everybody in Hollywood has a script. I'm just curious. I always like to ask people this question if they're involved with the industry. Do you have a script sitting at your desk that never got sold?
Me? I do have a couple scripts, yeah.
So it's true, okay.
Yeah. No, I have a lot of friends where if I actually sat and wrote a script, and I've written about 7 or 8 books. One of the books is actually about acting, and I don't get paid for this anymore, but it's a great company, and I love writing the book. It's a company called FabJob, FABJOB.com. Years ago, I wrote a book for them on becoming an actor. It's about 200 or so pages.
Wow.
But yeah, the scripts I have, someday I'll shop them. But, you know, there it is.
Talk about multi-talented. Mm-hmm. Well, where can people get this book on acting, on becoming an actor? Is it on Amazon.com or in any bookstores?
It's an e-book you can get from their site. So, again, it's fabjob.com, and if they still have it up there, it's The Guide to Becoming an Actor.
A Guide to Becoming an Actor, okay.
Yeah.
Great. So, and that's a good segue into another question that I wanted to make sure to ask you, and that is, do you have any, what's the most important advice you have for wannabe actors?
Well, do it because you love it. If you're thinking, I'm going to get famous or I'm going to get rich, and you've probably heard this, you know, it's not the profession to go into in the sense of that's not why you do it. But I also want to say, I never want to be discouraging. And I think people a lot of times have you focus on, oh, it's going to be hard work and it's going to, you know, like, look, if you're going to pursue something hard, then you better love it. And I had a lot of difficult times. I had a lot of frustrations, but I had a wonderful life as an actor. I got to, you know, do all these great films and TV and Broadway and a lot of corporate jobs. Like one job, I got to go to Hawaii.
Wow.
I was in a musical for Pepsi.
You were.
Yes. It was I played a country song and sang something about where you should locate your drinks on the shelf in a store. I kid you not.
I would like to see that, John.
It was pretty fun. But we went to Hawaii, and like a lot of conferences I still go to, you know, you go to a dark room for a week and you barely leave. But at the end of that week, the show went very well, and I think it was American Express. Pepsi was running it, and they were sponsoring the Rolling Stones tour. So they said, hey, you guys did a great job. Would you like to go to the Rolling Stones concert tonight that they're throwing for Pepsi? I said yes, and then I said yes. So I got
to
walk.
I went to one of those
like,
dark room conferences myself, but it was for how to make good marketing sales point presentations, and I don't think it was nearly as fun. And we did not get invited to see the Rolling Stones.
I've never been invited to a Rolling Stones. Well, you certainly have had some interesting experiences in your acting career. And
John, do you plan on ever? Do you think you might ever go back someday, like in like a second career when you're older, when you get done with this, or do you think you're pretty much done, or do you think you go back to the screen?
Oh yeah, sure. I mean, you know, I love my job now. I don't plan on leaving, you know, New Media or Blog Talk at any point in the near future. And, but yeah, I like the idea that once my kids are out of the house and stuff, I can walk into some either community theater audition and hand them a resume with Broadway on it, and hopefully that will mean something, or get back into film. A woman who really inspired me, she's passed away now. Her name is, I can't believe I can't think of a last name, Anne. Anyway, it'll come to me. She did Night Mother on Broadway and almost got the Tony, but Jessica Tandy was up for it that year. But she was this wonderful actor I met at the Williamstown Theater Festival who got back into acting when she was, I think, 68 and had a wonderful career for about 15, 20 years.
And the ladies here will hate me for saying this, but men seem to have a longer shelf life for acting than women do.
Well,
for saying that, Jazz.
Yeah.
You could have gone a long time.
Yes.
But
well, I apologize, but, you know, women have complained about that a lot in many interviews. There's been films, you know, documentaries done on the fact that men can go on and act for so many years, and Hollywood seems to get a little cooler towards women in that period from, you know, what is it, the late 30s or 40s, up until you can actually play a matron and you're in your 60s or something.
Well, and then part of that is the fault of the women who don't want to play certain parts because they want to keep playing the ingenue. So
mm-hmm.
it's kind of a 50-50 proposition. If you're someone like Susan Sarandon, who started playing mothers, you know, way back in her 30s, and she's still, you know, going gangbusters today. So
she's one of my favorites ever. She's so talented
too.
And still very pretty.
So they, you know, have a long shelf life if you're willing to take the characters like that and play obnoxious characters too. If an actress is not afraid to do that, she'll have a longer career. What do you think, John, are the most important characteristics for someone who wants to be an actor to have?
You should be willing, especially when you start out, to pretty much do any job that someone offers you, short of, you know, pornography or stuff that you don't want to do. That's how you meet people, you know, that type of thing. I think a positive attitude in the sense that if you can find joy in the process of auditioning, the process of being in a show, whether or not you're getting paid, et cetera, you know, like you mentioned this earlier, when people say like people were waiting for their chance to be discovered. I worked at a lot of places. I temped in a lot of places in New York, and I would tell them the work I'd done. They'd be like, "Oh yeah, I have a friend whose cousin, sixth cousin, knows Julia Roberts," and they would sort of lord it over me like the stuff I hadn't done, like the stuff I had done wasn't that important. Any job you do as an actor, if you're proud of it, be proud of it. Whether you're doing a showcase for free, you're in a movie, you have one line, you're doing an independent film and you have the lead. This is something, it's so easy to get degraded or feel walked on when you audition in that process, that it's very important for your self-worth and for your confidence to really take joy in the work. So I think it's very easy to get bitter, and if you find yourself getting bitter, it's not a good career to stay with.
I think that's very good advice. I like what you said about do it because you love doing it. And if you love it, then you'll be willing, I think, to take so many different kinds of parts. And you'll actually enjoy the audition
mm-hmm.
because you're learning from that, too. So you certainly have given us a lot of very provocative answers, interesting answers, and I cannot believe, John, that we're almost out of time.
Quick, before you let him go, Betty, the other thing I forgot, did you ever have to take classes? Everybody talks about the importance of taking acting classes. What sort of education did you have to go after?
I would always recommend classes. I took a lot of classes in college. I went to Messiah College, and they had a program with Temple University, so I took a lot of intensive classes there. Remember, too, that when you go, like, to New York or a bigger market, classes, you can, I always say, do a double thing. Find the class that teaches you the craft you want, but find the class taught by casting directors, so then they get to see your work right away. I worked with a wonderful woman named Pat McCorkle, who casts probably still, but for a lot of movies, TV shows, and regional theater. And I took her class. She had great advice, and then I went in as a reader for her, and then she cast me in some stuff. So,
more great advice, John.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for being such a super guest. It's been fun and enlightening to have you on the show, and I hope we'll be able to have you back again soon.
My pleasure. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
It's our very great pleasure to have you here. This is Betty Jo Tucker giving a big shout-out to the folks at Blog Talk Radio for all their support and connection with this show. Special thanks to producer Nikki Starr for everything she does to make Movie Addict Headquarters happen, and to John Havens for sharing his movie acting experiences with us today. And thanks also to everyone who listened live or to the archives or who participated in the chat or called in. Thank you very much, Abby and Jazz. We really appreciate it. Please come back next time for a lively discussion of summer blockbusters with special guest film critics Diana Sanger and the Mad Movie Man. In the meantime, check out our film reviews at realtalkreviews.com. That's R-E-E-L, realtalkreviews.com. Now, here's A.J. Daniels to close the show, as usual, with a song Nikki and I dedicate to all our loyal Blog Talk Radio listeners.
and be true.